This week's episode of Greetings from Wonderland is brought to you by
Dog Boy, Den of Thieves by Bill Meeks. Available now on the Amazon Kindle, at CreateSpace, and find out more at dogboyadventures.com.
That feels wonderful.
Beautiful, isn't it? Makes you feel quite mimsy.
Who are you?
I'm the carpenter. Who are you?
I'm not sure I want to give you my name. Do you know where we are? I've been trying to find my bearings.
We are in the Boro Grove, the most beautiful place in the world. Why don't you put down your sword and stay a while?
Greetings from Wonderland. I'm Bill Meeks.
And I'm Anne-Marie DeSimone.
And this here's a toll road. You needs to pay the toll, or else we're going to talk about Once Upon a Time in Wonderland like we do pretty much every week. How you doing, Anne-Marie?
I'm good. How are you?
Excellent. Excellent.
Yay.
We should have mentioned this to our guests beforehand instead of spraying it on her while we were recording. But this will be this episode will be airing a little bit later than we normally do the Wonderland episodes. It's going to be released on Tuesday or so, because as you heard a couple days ago, we had our very special 50th episode that was also all about the 50th anniversary of Doctor Who. And you know, we're not recording this before that aired or anything.
No,
so wasn't that
all
a great
Mm-mm.
special?
It was fantastic. I can't
when Peabody and Sherman showed up, it blew my mind. Let's go ahead.
TARDIS within a TARDIS within a TARDIS within a TARDIS. And then there was a cake. It was just crazy.
And then the Doctor regenerated into Stephen Moffat.
And then everyone's head exploded.
Okay, so let's go ahead and bring in our guest here. A good Twitter buddy of mine, Jill Pantosi. She's the associate editor at The Mary Sue. How are you doing, Jill?
I'm good. How are you?
Excellent, excellent. So I saw, you know, a few weeks ago that you watched the Once Upon a Time in Wonderland. And I was like, you know, we talk to each other on Twitter all the time, you know, joke back and forth and stuff. We should probably, do something together. So it worked out pretty much perfectly. You know, before we get started into the episode talking about this week, why don't you go ahead and give it, what's your impression on the series thus far?
I like it a lot, but I was expecting to in this case. You know, some new shows come on and I'm a little wary just because I'm highly critical. You know, I write about pop culture for a living, so like that's my mindset. But I thought I was going to like this one just because I already love everything about Alice in Wonderland, and I love Once Upon a Time Prime. I'm really enjoying it. It's the same kind of just... You know, I don't know if I would categorize it as a family show, but that's the way it feels to me because it's very almost wholesome, you know, where anybody can really watch it.
Right.
And I enjoy that considering, you know, a lot of things that I watch these days are very violent, you know, lots of sex or, you know, and that's great too, but it's nice.
There's a time and a place.
Time and a place.
Yeah.
Grief.
Yeah.
We've been a little uneven on it overall.
Yeah.
I think it's there's just something about any time the Red Queen and Jafar get on screen together. it just completely turns it. But in contrast, though, you know, you mentioned the main one show. Hasn't that been great this season?
Yeah, just,
I've been loving Peter Pan.
Yeah, when they first said that they were going to bring him on, I didn't know what to expect, you know, of what I already have in my mind of who Peter Pan is.
Yeah.
And they definitely went wacky with that one.
Yeah, and I've been saying over when we talk about the main show, the great thing about him is that, one, he's a completely 100% book accurate Pan, minus the whole revelation from this past week. And
yeah.
Two, he's a really, really good villain, which you wouldn't think reading the original book because he was portrayed kind of in the hero's position.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just a matter of perspective because the main characters we're looking at the series through are all adults. Peter Pan becomes the villain. A bit, but Anne-Marie, why don't you go ahead and give us our nice little rhyming summary here, and we'll get into talking about this week's episode.
Our flashback this week shows us Alice's home life. Sadly, her daddy has a new kid and a new wife. Cyrus is running the Red Queen close behind. Our girl doesn't care. She's hung up on vines. The knave tries to save her, though she treats him with malice. All in this week's episode, who's Alice?
Yay!
So, Anne-Marie, we'll start with you. Overall, what'd you think of this week's episode?
Well, I actually like this episode, but it is divisible by three, so that makes sense because every third episode has been good.
I have not noticed that.
Yes, those have been our favorites, so this is unfortunately only our second favorite episode. I'm hoping that it picks up here with the last two to wrap it up.
Yeah, the last one we really, really loved was the one with the caterpillar from a few weeks back. That was just great. So what did you think of this episode, Jill?
I liked this one. I thought it was, obviously, it gave us a different feel than the other episodes because we had so much time and, you know, Victorian London. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it was interesting. I think it was good because it got a lot of the plot kind of moving forward, you know, rather than the constant like, oh, this person's here and this person's here and, you know, we're still looking for each other, you know.
Right.
Yeah. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, I think it had a really good balance of moving the plot forward while having flashbacks to help figure out where they're coming from on things. I like when they have that balance instead of just all of one or the other.
Yeah. And me and Anne-Marie were talking a little bit earlier about it too. I think they got their episode order cut, which might kind of explain why it feels like the pace is picking up a little bit. You know, maybe they had like 16 episodes worth of stuff shot and now they have to fit it into, you know, 10 episodes worth of airing.
Okay.
But I think it's only eight. Yeah.
They cut it down to eight.
It ends, wow. There's two episodes left, right?
Yep.
Two episodes and we're done.
Yep. That's all I've been able to find anywhere. And episode eight is something home.
Mm-hmm.
So it really wraps it up.
It's like going home or coming home or
something like that.
Speaking of home, my first point is, I labeled it here in the notes as Alice's daddy issues, but basically her relationship with her father when she returns home after her second visit to Wonderland, if I have the timeline correct in my head.
Should be. Second or third.
Now, two big impressions I got from her interactions with him. One, he's a complete and total jerk. And two, as an adult in the real world, his reaction also makes complete and total sense. But I just kind of wonder, you know, just because, you know, she comes saying, hey, I was around all this magic stuff and blah, blah, blah. Obviously, yeah, he would probably be like, oh, we should probably, you know, get her some help or something. But at the same time, and she says it best in the episode, you should trust in me or you should believe in me. It doesn't matter about a talking rabbit or a genie. You should trust your daughter. Right. But what did you guys think of the whole, you know, her dad moving on and how he reacted to her coming back?
He did whatever his wife told him to. Mm-hmm. Like, he didn't have any backbone when it came to her, which really bothered me. I was like, she was your daughter first. She's been gone for how long? We don't even know. She's coming back. Even if she's obsessed with this thing that you don't believe in, you should still be there to support her.
Mm-hmm.
So, and even how she points out, it took him years to get over his wife. Why should he expect, even if this is in her head, for her to get over somebody in 3 days or whatever?
Yeah, that point really drove it home for me because, like, I did expect the dad to have moved on and perhaps, you know, have another family because she has been gone for a very long time. And, but when it came to that, you know, when they were discussing her mother and, you know, how much he loved her and all this stuff. And then she was like, yeah, exactly. Just like I like this guy, you know, love this guy, even though you don't think he's real, the love is there and you're telling me to just forget about it, you know?
Right.
Oh, yeah. It really, really kind of boiled my blood, especially when they brought in the guy without telling her there at the breakfast. I was like, oh, man, that's just rude.
Yeah.
But one thing, too, that I thought it maybe part of the reason why he wasn't quite so eager to trust her is because she kind of has a history of disappearing, doesn't she, at this point,
right.
For years on end? And, you know, considering that's one of the few people he had left in his life prior to her returning this time, I can definitely see, you know, why he might not be so trusting of that. But Anne-Marie, you had a point.
All right. Yeah. So where's the knave's heart? He's basically just like, no, I didn't put the heart back in, but we never get, like, he does say that he'll tell her later, but I don't even know where would you store a heart? We've seen where they store hearts on the other show, but...
Yeah, see, I was,
and Cora aren't there.
I was trying to think back, like, I remember, because Alice, it was said that Alice got his heart back, right?
Correct.
For him, but we never saw that happen, and we never saw him handling it or anything.
No, but she gives it to him, like, from the way they were talking, they've talked about her bringing back his heart, and he just resisted, he didn't put it in right away, because he didn't want the broken heart from Anastasia feelings, so he just waited and waited, and then got used to the empty.
Well, I mean,
which I can understand, but where do you put your heart that you're not dead?
Right. And just a safe place so no one else gets it either.
And it's Wonderland. Nothing seems very safe there.
Exactly.
Well, if you remember, he has been hanging out in Storybrooke, though, and there's a nice big mausoleum.
Heart storage facility. That's what, well, that makes me almost more nervous because who knows what's going on there. You know, what if Regina grabbed the wrong heart at some point and just there went the knave?
Well, I know, especially in the second season, she was pretty callous and crazy with the hearts. Like, she was just like, you know, digging through a pile and throwing them behind her, you know.
Yes.
She wasn't taking too much care with those.
Exactly. Why would you, that be where you store your heart then with someone like that?
But I'm sure that's probably going to tie in, and might even, Jill, we've been talking about this the past few weeks. Obviously, probably the reason the spinoff is happening is so they can spin off one or two of the characters into the main show.
Mm-hmm.
And
Nave. Sorry.
Yeah, depending on how that plot line types up or wraps up, it could definitely be the name. I'm kind of hoping it's the Nave. He's been my favorite character thus far. Although I don't think we have it. Or do we have it in the notes? No, I have it in the notes here, so I'll forget about it. Jill, you had a point.
Well, I've just been excited as we go along seeing characters from the Wonderland books, you know, showing up. And so when we had the Carpenter show up this week, I kind of had a, you know, mini freak out, like, oh my God, here he is, you know. And he was scary as hell.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Completely.
At first, he was just creepy. And then once you realize what he was, it just went to a whole nother level.
Exactly. Yeah, we're going to ignore the guy with the scary look in the saw. Sure. Okay.
Yeah. And the whole revelation with the trees was really crazy because I've recently doing an X-Files rewatch. Uh-huh. And there's this episode where throughout kind of in the wilderness, and they wound up finding these people who have lived out there possibly for hundreds of years and actually have sort of, you know, developed the ability to blend into the woods. Mm-hmm. And so there's a lot of scenes where they're like on the trees and then they open their eyes, and it always freaked me out as a child. And so when that happened in this one too, like, it brought back all those memories. It was very scary.
something I thought was kind of interesting too. What, one, where was the walrus? Although the guy who was playing the carpenter kind of looked like a walrus.
Yeah, maybe he was both.
But I thought it was interesting because, you know, that whole original tale was about them kind of leading, what was it, clams or whatever, to their demise.
Oh, the baby clams. Yeah.
Yeah, so I thought it was kind of interesting that, you know, even though he wasn't really very much like the carpenter from the original, he still was involved in leading someone to their doom kind of thing.
Right, right.
Which I thought was really interesting. Something else I thought that was really good overall in this episode was I thought the acting was really strong, especially from Alice. And the humor was really good. There was a lot of really good one-liners. A couple I wrote down here was, have you ever been stoned from the Nave?
That was good, yeah.
Oh, my God. When that happened, I was like, no, they did not. Just go there.
Yeah, it's just like something you take a double take because you're watching a show on ABC and you don't expect someone to say, hey, did you just get stoned? You know, at 8 o'clock on a Sunday or a Thursday night, rather. But the other one was the waste of wood with the signs going into the woods. Like, that's one thing this series has down when it decides to use it is the kind of humor and stuff that you saw in the original story. Just kind of like that whimsical, kind of quirky Alice in Wonderland-y kind of Lewis Carroll humor, which they do a really good job with that.
They should have done more. Mm-hmm. They should have done more with it. Maybe that's some of the stuff that ended up getting cut. But I think that might have upped their don't know, quality.
Yeah, it actually almost seems when they try and go a little too actiony or swashbuckly and lose that is when the show kind of starts to like, not quite as good anymore. But
okay, so the Red Queen chasing Cyrus, and she's going through the list of things that she have, and she says, "Hey, I win the game, or I'll win the game." What's the game? Just beating Jafar? Or was there something else that I just completely missed?
Well, I mean, they've been working with that whole chess motif the whole season with her, because, you know, she's the Red Queen on the chessboard or whatever. So I'm guessing that's the game, but I don't know why winning the game is important to her.
Right. Like, that's the, like, why are you working with him then at all? I don't know. Like, I just feel like it hasn't gone quite where I wanted it to. I don't know.
It's just like her and Jafar like playing each other, and we've seen that, but we've never really seen the why or what she stands to gain from winning over Jafar. Because I mean,
it seemed really, really important to her that she beat Jafar in something, especially while he's gone, and we don't know why.
Have you got any ideas, Jill, or any?
You know, I don't know. I mean, as we've been seeing some of her past, you know, the past couple of weeks, it's opened up a few possibilities, but it still is not like, because she wasn't all about, you know, the power until she really had nothing. And they also didn't explain much, obviously, with her and the king at the time, and how that kind of all, she's like, oh, well, all right, you're going to be my queen now.
What,
and, you know,
what happened to him? Where's he now?
He's definitely not been around. And also her powers. Like, I just don't get it, because like, there's been times where she totally should have used her powers and she doesn't. She acts like she doesn't even have them. So I'm not sure what the whole deal with that is either.
Oh, yeah. And you know, sometimes she can, you know, like she did in this week's episode, you know, throw a guy around in a cage, but then she can't like levitate herself down a canyon to like last week's episode.
With maybe it has to do with the pixie dust. Maybe she was running out.
Although it seemed like she kind of used all of that on the Knave last week when she unstoned him, as it were.
Well, I'm sure she didn't use all. Well, we don't know how much they got either, I guess. I don't know. Just a thought.
Yeah, but when she was following Cyrus and she just was like, oh, now that I'm here and I was already following these tracks, you know, without magic, now I'm going to be like, I think I'm going to use magic to follow them. And that's a lot easier.
Yeah.
Speaking of that, something I thought was really weird is that she, how did she put it? She referred to Cyrus as like a poor little genie or something, you know, referring to him as kind of slight or not very powerful or something, which you don't really hear a genie referred to that way often. I just thought was kind of interesting. I don't know if that says something about her power level or just her view of everybody else in the universe that's not her.
But okay,
let's see here. Here at the end of the episode, Jafar, you know, he's knocking around fictional London world or wherever Alice is from. He shows up at Alice's place and tells her dad he knows where she is. And it's pretty obvious Jafar is going to use her dad as leverage to get her to make a wish. But I wonder after the events of this episode if Alice will respond to that, if that'll even work. What do you guys think?
Well, in the preview, you know, go ahead.
I was going to say it's hard to tell at this point because she sort of, you know, made her choice to leave. But I'm not sure if that was out of stubbornness or out of this is better for my dad than for me, you know, because she saw how happy he was, you know, with the new family and the new daughter and all that. So I think, I don't know, I think that bringing him back into her life, I think she's going to be glad for that. And especially because, you know, presumably he's going to come to Wonderland and get to see that she was telling the truth.
And how will that change things?
One
thing I kind of have a feeling is going to happen at some point. Alice is going to have to choose between either her father and Cyrus or her father and the Knave. Actually, I'd probably lean closer to a choice between her father and the Knave, because if it was between her father and Cyrus, she'd probably choose Cyrus. But the Knave makes it a slightly more interesting choice, you know, dramatically and everything. But Emery,
but they can't kill the Knave because that will kill her.
This is true. I guess it really depends on if they already have, I don't know, Cyrus under their control or something at that point.
Right. So. I don't see that happening, though. Okay. So the little sister, Millie, I love her. Like, I almost think she would have been better leveraged than her dad because they seem to have a really quick connection. Mm-hmm. And I don't think we're done with her. I think she has something else to add to the story. I don't know exactly what. But because you could tell, like, she wanted to believe whatever little bits she could get. I feel like she was almost too sheltered and knew she was too sheltered.
Well, you could tell she really wanted a bigger sister if nothing else, like a positive female presence in her life. You
know? Yes. Other than Sarah, who I wanted to punch in the mouth because I'm like, can you stop being mean for 2 seconds? So...
Well, I mean, you know, in a sense, you know, again, an adult living in the real world, you can kind of see that perspective, too, where the mother was probably just like, you know, we have a happy home here. This daughter that has been gone for years shows back up. It disrupts things. But at the same time, she was a real jerk about it.
Yeah, like, I don't know, like, still, how is the first thing you're basically talking about? How long is she going to be here? Well, mm-hmm. Where else is she going to go? She's been gone pretty much since she was a child. Like,
and she's there for 3.5 hours. Okay, can we get her married off already, please?
Yes. Oh, it just seemed so, she was just so rude.
Yeah.
How rude.
Okay, and Jill, you want to wrap us up here?
Yeah, I just had a few more kind of funny observations. One was that, I don't know if other people realize this sooner, but I didn't realize that the Bowie guards that the Red Queen has are actually Tweedledee and Tweedledum.
Yeah.
So that was kind of cool. Mm-hmm. And also just another humorous moment when Jafar first, comes into England or wherever and meets up with that artist who's just like dumbfounded, you know, seeing him. And mm-hmm. I felt like the line that he gave when he was like, you know, I don't know what exactly it was, something like nice suit or something. It
yeah,
reminded
nice
me
suit.
So mm-hmm. much of the Terminator coming and just being like, yeah, I'm taking your clothes now. Sorry.
Yeah. You know, I didn't even think about that until you mentioned it, but that's exactly the scenario that happened there. One thing I also want to mention, it seemed a little, I know it's his catchphrase and everything, it seemed a little excessive in this episode, the bloody hells from the name.
Yes, I felt like it should have been a drinking game, and yeah. I didn't realize it till like halfway through the episode. I was like, I should track this.
You know, it's the same thing with the Red Queen saying darling all the time. Mm. She said darling so many times in this last episode, like, it was ridiculous. It's just, I feel like they've given her that just like... Mr. Gold has Deary on once, you know, like
yeah.
That's what they wanted to like give her something, you know.
Every character has to have a catchphrase.
Gotta have a catchphrase.
For sure. Okay, Jill, you probably don't know this, but the way we generally end every episode's discussion is I come up with a completely arbitrary scale to judge it on. now, based on what we were just talking about, out of 17 bloody hells, how many bloody hells would you give this episode, Jill?
out of 17, I would give it a... 13.
Why?
Because I prefer more in Wonderland than out of Wonderland.
Understood. Okay, Anne-Marie, out of 17 bloody hells, how many bloody hells do you give Who's Alice?
I was actually going to go for 13 as well.
Copycat.
I already had the number. I wrote it down. It was one of the better episodes for me because it just felt like we started going somewhere and seeing some kind of character development and everything, like everything with Alice in the, you know, purple mist thing. But there's always room for improvement. And I just felt like there was just some parts where it did slack. And when they were in Victorian England or whatever, it was a little slower and felt very repetitive. Mm-hmm. Like, how many times can we hear that she needs to be married off and present this guy? And mm-hmm. So, and how about you? How many bloody hells would you give it?
Why, thank you for asking.
Anytime.
I'm going to give it 15 just because Jafar only had 2 scenes. And I really, really like that about this episode.
Three scenes. But it was still good.
Yeah. And he was actually, I really enjoyed him in his 3 scenes, too, which is
maybe he's better out of Wonderland where the rest of them are better in Wonderland.
This is true.
Have you guys talked about his hair?
I know we've talked about his dramatic kind of like wavy movements and everything. I don't know if we've touched on the hair at all.
The hair, which was previously terrible, like so terrible. I was like, what are they doing to poor Naveen Andrews? Like, this is just so bad. And then like literally 2 days after I said that, I watched one of the promos and I said, wait a second, they changed his hair. And now it's completely different and normal.
Yeah, it seems almost like they might be kind of reacting a little bit to fan reaction to certain things last couple episodes, because the Red Queen was a lot less annoying than she has been too. I've always loved her as Anastasia, but as the Red Queen, she just, I don't know, got under my skin or something. But this week she was a lot better. But
I loved her outfit though. Sorry, because last week one of my notes was, does she not have anything like appropriate? And this week she had pants on. I was like, thank you. Even though the Tweedles think this is not acceptable attire, I thought it was completely acceptable.
They're fashion divas a little bit, those Tweedles.
Make it work.
normally here we would have an ad, but me and Anne-Marie didn't feel like going in to do picks, so no ad this week. And now on to the news.
News.
Yeah, that's what I told you was.
That's our bit.
That is cute.
Okay, first up, we have the ratings here. And Once Upon a Time in Wonderland, let's see here. It got a 0.9 out of 3 in an adult demographic 18 to 49, which is.
Is
that better or worse than last week? Normally, I get what it did compared to last week.
It didn't have that sitting there. I couldn't find it.
But it did pretty good.
They stayed consistent. Mm-hmm. They didn't go down. And
it didn't go up.
It didn't go up. Didn't go down.
It's over in 2 weeks anyway.
Well, 3 weeks because we have a break.
Oh yeah, this is true.
Because of Thanksgiving turkey, lots of it. Read the article. It says it held steady.
You're going to make me read articles.
I'm making you read. That's why I put words there. Yes.
I thought that's why we put the actual text from the article in here, so I didn't have. I know, but and we also have the trailer for the next episode, not next week's, but the next episode up here too. You can get it in our show notes, greetingsfromstorybrooke.com. Sorry, I completely got lost in that sentence there, but the preview looks pretty good, and I think I might have seen a Jabberwock there.
That's what I think too,
which is cool. We were talking last week, how they ended on the cliffhanger with Alice and Cyrus like separated by that big we found out the dark woods in this episode, but I was like, I bet you the Jabberwock's down there somewhere, has to be, because how can you have an Alice in Wonderland series without touching on that character at some point? It would be
exactly
cool. Absolutely
gotta have it.
Okay, so yeah, and there's not a lot of news about this show.
There really isn't. I searched and it took me to the ABC site and there was no news on the ABC site. I'm like, okay, that's kind of sad.
Since they announced Whoopi Goldberg as a voice who still hasn't shown up yet.
Yeah.
She was supposed to be in episode 8. That's what she was originally like
slated for,
which kind of now makes sense if that's the wrap up. But I don't think it was cut to 8 episodes at that point. Because that's the same week that I read the article about them possibly getting canceled.
Mm-hmm. Well, maybe they moved her up or something.
Well, then she's on the next episode. There's not much places to move her.
Okay, and after every episode airs, we love for our listeners to run to their phones, their computers, whatever, and send us feedback, questions. You know, for Wonderland, we don't get as much as we do for the main show. That's fine. We're not offended. I don't know about the creators of Wonderland itself. They might be offended, but we're not. But, anytime the episodes or the show airs, if you want to do that, you can email us at greetingsfromstorybrooke@gmail.com. You can tweet us at GFStorybrooke. You can hit up our Facebook, which is always hot. Always lots of activity over there at facebook.com/greetingsfromstorybrooke. And you can leave us a voicemail, which is our favorite, and we always play them. It's 424-274-2352. Again, that's 424-274-2352. And the first letter we have up here is from Marie Kelly. You want to read that, Anne-Marie?
Oh, I didn't even notice we had one.
Okay. This one we got right after we posted last week's episode because it corrects me on something I was wrong on.
So. Aha! All right. Hi, guys. This is Marie. Just listened to your latest Wonderland podcast, and I have to say the rumors that the show might be ending by the 8th episode make me sad. I'm not exactly an expert on how things work, but it seems rather late in the game to be making changes. I had assumed that they'd at least filmed most, if not all, of the episodes by now, and even if the show was canceled, I could watch the remaining episodes on DVD. We don't know. That could still happen, but I doubt it. I've grown fond of the Wonderland characters. Well, I like the Red Queen, at least. I want to know more about her. I think that based on his clothes, Anastasia married the White King. Of course, that doesn't answer why she became the Red Queen or why the White King would have a red crown. Maybe it's a tradition in Wonderland that white always marries red or something.
I'm going to go with or something.
I like or something. Also, sorry, Bill, but you're wrong. Jafar did not tell the rabbit to dig a hole to nowhere. When the rabbit said where to, Jafar replied, you know where. I've rewatched it several times, and each time I heard and saw his lips move, he said the word you before the words nowhere. Though I would love to see an actual hole to nowhere.
I know. I was wrong. The problem is I thought I heard it when I initially watched the episode, and then I went back and listened to it while Anne-Marie was talking during the recording of last week's episode, so I couldn't hear it properly. I was wrong. I'm sorry. I'll do better next time.
And you know what's awesome? We have this on recording that he said he was wrong.
I do.
So we
do.
Can keep bringing this up.
You can play that on loop if you want to. That's fine.
Hey, it's Bill from the future or the past or the present. I guess it depends on when you're listening to this. It's Tuesday night on the 26th of November. Basically, I was putting the Wonderland episode together here to send out, and we got a voicemail from, I believe it was Robert. So I decided I'd go ahead and drop it in this show, especially since we didn't have a lot of feedback anyway. So we'll play this voicemail from Robert, and then we'll drop you right back in to the episode already in progress that we recorded last Friday.
Hey guys, greetings from Bradenton. Robert here again. Bloody hell, the name sure says bloody hell a lot, doesn't he? As soon as I heard Alice's new mother correct her father by saying half-sister, I knew I wasn't going to like her one bit. But it was, I did find it nice how they tried to knock some sense and sensibility into Alice by introducing Jane Eyre as Mr. Darcy. That's the first fictional character of Victorian England I can remember being on the show, so I'm pretty sure that firmly establishes Alice in Victorian England. The Black Forest. I finally get to know where Subway's Black Forest ham comes from, but that forest was creepy as heck. The faces in the trees and the creepy carpenter with the saw, that was definitely creepy. I'm saying creepy almost as much as he said bloody hell. But it was interesting to see, to hear the knave still doesn't have his heart. I wonder where his heart is.
Huh. Okay, and actually, Anne-Marie, I'm going to ask you to read the letter from Tim, too, if you can.
Oh, I guess. All right, and this is from Tim Peters. Hey, so I actually really liked this episode, a surprise for Wonderland and me. One of the things I liked most about this episode was the transitions between scenes. They did a good job of having similar lines between the flashback and Wonderland scenes with Alice. Maybe you could rewatch and you will see what I mean. Now to some important questions.
I actually, I kept an eye out for that on my rewatch this evening, and I definitely did see that. It was a lot of kind of overlapping, like the last line fed into the first line of the next scene kind of thing. It was neat.
Again, maybe they actually were paying attention to the fans saying stuff. Where is Scarlet's heart? It better be in a heart vault, because that's the only place fashionable people put their hearts, LOL. 2, how long precisely were Alice's trips to Wonderland? How long was she gone seeking proof and getting to know Cyrus?
On the timeline thing, I kind of got the impression that it was months to Alice and years in her world.
Reality.
Yeah. Which kind of makes me wonder why the doctor who runs the insane asylum wasn't dead or something when Jafar showed up, because it had been, it's only been a couple weeks since Alice came back again, right? Came back to Wonderland again. So, yeah. Okay, that makes sense. Doctor should still be alive.
Completely, because when she pops out of the thing, it says 1 year ago. Mm. It's only been a year. Like, she wasn't even in the asylum for a year.
Mm-hmm.
So if he's dying, something happened to him. Or more important, anyway, how long has Alice been in Wonderland over the span of this series? We would assume it's only been a few days, but given the good doctor's reaction, it had been at least a month since he had a good job pretending not to know Alice.
And time this is where differently I should there. Learn.
This is what we just talked about.
Yeah.
This is what happens when I don't read ahead. also, we met Mr. Darcy, an obvious nod to Pride and Prejudice by Jane Austen. I loved that. I wonder if Alice's half-sister, Millie, plays with John and Wendy and Michael. That's dangerous because then she's going to get taken by Marilyn Manson. my issues about this episode. When Alice first met the man in the Burrow Grove, he said, makes you feel all mimsy. This is interesting. Mimsy is a word from the Jabberwocky poem mentioned in Through the Looking Glass, mm-hmm. meaning according to good old Humpty Dumpty, miserable and flimsy. I suppose the Burrow Grove, after it has its effect, makes someone feel that way, but only after they have been cured. Second point, in the Jabberwocky poem, Burrow Groves are actually creatures of some sort, a thin, shabby bird with feathers sticking out like a live mop and not an actual grove. I like the Jabberwocky poem. What I can say is that I'm a stickler for getting some details correct. Overall, let's see. I give this episode 8 tree people out of 10.
I actually meant to mention the Burrow Groves thing because that struck me too, because when they said it, I, you know, got excited. I kind of was looking around the screen to see if there was any birds, but there weren't. And I was like, oh, I guess they're not going that direction.
Yeah, is that maybe what the purpley flowers were representing?
Maybe.
Yeah, it's weird with their interpretations of various characters in this series. Sometimes they're only like in name only. They just kind of name check them and that's about it. With the Tweedles, for example, they're not very much like the Tweedles from the main book at all. One of them's not dumb. They're both scheming.
They're up to something.
For sure. All right. Well, thank you very much, Tim, for writing in. Like I said, if you want to write in, you can write us greetingsfromstorybrooke@gmail.com. You can tweet us at GF Storybrooke. Excuse me. Facebook is facebook.com/greetingsfromstorybrooke. And the phone number to leave a voicemail is 424-274-2352. Again, that's 424-274-2352. And you can download episodes, check out show notes. There's pictures of me and Anne-Marie, all at greetingsfromstorybrooke.com. Now, Jill, where can people find you?
Writing daily for themarysue.com or on Twitter. My username is Jill Pantozzi, JillPantozzi.
And she's definitely worth a follow. I every day I see something awesome on her feed.
So aw, thanks.
Give her a follow. And Emery, where can people find you?
You can find me on the Twitters at AMDSimone, and I have a slightly neglected blog that I'm working on, crunchy, crafty, and highly caffeinated.wordpress.com.
And you can find me on Twitter. I'm at Bill Meeks. On Google Plus, I am google.com/plusBillMeeks. And you can buy my new book, Dog Boy, Den of Thieves, at dogboyadventures.com. So I guess since this is technically next Tuesday, we'll be back in five or six days to talk about the new episode of Once Upon a Time after the Thanksgiving break, I guess. I think. Right?
I'm not sure. Okay. Maybe.
I'm always so confused at the end of the episode, so I guess, you know, we'll just say what we always...
It's all wibbly, wobbly, timey-wimey.
I figure we'll just say what we always say at the end of the episodes, which is, greetings from Storybrooke Land, Brooke Place.